So it was ruled that he was a shooting foul, so he gets two free throws. Kelly missed on the first, trying to split the free throws now. If he can make this one, there is a whistle. And before he could get the shot, Roy, the official is going in to say something to him. You very seldom see that when the official blows the whistle after the ball has been given to the shooter. But he has one more free throw coming. Kelly bounces the ball, eyes the basket, free throw, up, no good. And he goes 0 for 2, and the rebound brings the Crutchers into the forecourt as they have 20 seconds to get off a good shot. Pass comes over the right side, now to Hemmerling, working the weave, getting the ball to Nothman. Nothman has taken just one shot since coming back from that leg injury. He passes to Murray. Murray in the corner to Nothman, fires a three, it's no good. Rebounded by the Braves, San Giacomo, and he has Nothman pressuring him in the backcourt as time will run out, and that will end quarter number two. So stay right there. We'll be right back as we're at halftime here at the home of the Crushers, where the Justin Siena Braves of Napa lead the homestanding Vinny's Crushers 24-17. Here at the home of the Crushers, it is halftime, and what a second quarter that was. The Vinny's Crushers managed just 8 points in the quarter, and Justin Siena came up with just 10 points. So we got a low scoring game, but it's 24-17 as Justin Siena is in the lead. When they played at Justin Siena, the halftime score was 20-23. 23 for Vinny's and 20 for Justin. And so they trailed at that juncture when they played at the Dan Clark Gymnasium. Tonight, over at the Messner Gymnasium in Napa, Napa High is playing Casa Grande. Those are two teams that have similar records. They have each won 5 games, and Casa Grande has lost 15. Napa High has lost 16. Napa High is the defending league champion. And Dino, as you well remember, Napa went undefeated in the Vine Valley Athletic League in last year's first year of the league.
They sure did. They went 12-0, and but that was a team with a lot of seniors on it. And then also, of course, Brock Bowers, who's still an underclassman, was on that team, but not able to play this year. And I tell you, he would make a huge difference. I honestly believe that Napa would be near the top of the league if they had Brock in there playing. Let's look at the first half individual scoring. By far the leading scorer is Liam McDevitt, who has 12 points at halftime, including all 10 Braves points scored in that second quarter. Vincent Jackson is runner-up with 6 points scored, but Vincent has 3 personal fouls, so he's had to spend more time on the bench probably than he would have liked. Keith Binns had 4 points for the Braves. He's the only other player with more than 2. For the Crushers, leading scorers are Imani Lopez with 6 and Blake Murray with 6, and Ethan Hemmerlin has 5. So good balance there. Interestingly enough, for Justin, they've got 2 players in foul trouble, Vincent Jackson and Wyatt Humphreys, and those are players that play pretty much the same position and substitute for each other. So if they continue to pick up fouls, that could be problematic for Justin. For Vintage, they have a couple of players with 2 fouls. Imani Lopez has 2 personals, and Josh McCormick has 2 personals, but nobody in really serious foul trouble for the Vintage Crushers, Ira.
Well, in case you joined us late, there were a couple games earlier tonight here at the home of the Crushers. In the freshman game, it was Vintage prevailing 50-32, with a couple Sams racking up the points. Sam Gomez had 13 points, and Sam Loomis had 11 points for the Crushers. In the JV game, once again, it was Vintage as the winner, 57-46 was the final. And a couple of the Crushers each had 13 points. Both played really good games, I thought. Matty Estrada, who was only about 5'6", weighs about 130 pounds, had 13. And most of that came on his three-point shooting. It was excellent. And Cole Capiani, who is about 6'7", and his size was put to good use tonight because of the way that he was able to clear the backboards. His defense was a very added asset there for the Chrysers when the team would try to penetrate into the lane area. Cole Capiani with 13 points. Still remember when we were here previously and watched the JV game when Mike Paddock got into the ball game, fired a three-pointer, and hit it. And that brought the crowd to their feet. That was exciting, not only for the crowd, but for Mike as well. So the teams back in their dressing room, and hopefully Imani Lopez is going to be all right. We'll see if he comes back out to start the second half. And you probably heard Dusty Baker is going to be the new manager of the Houston Astros. And I happen to have some interview that I made just a couple of months ago with Dusty. So I thought, well, we have some opportunity here. Let's see if we can pull that up. Well, Dusty, a lot of people are wondering whatever happened to your son that made a big splash in the World Series.
Well, my son is a junior at University of California, Berkeley, and he's playing baseball over there, and he's an aspiring major leaguer.
What's his position?
Second is short. He's playing short this year, and he's having a great time at University of California.
What have you been doing these days? Any connection with baseball?
Somewhat. You know, like I do some work for the Giants, and then I also... you know, have been busy, you know, in the wine business. You know, like I'm a grape grower, and my wine maker is here tonight. And so I've been doing that. It's a lot of work. I really appreciate the people in the wine business. I also have a small soda company out of Sacramento.
Do you know anything about the new manager the Giants selected?
No, not much. Just some, you know, what I've seen last couple of years. I don't think I've ever met him. I remember him as a player, you know, on another team and I was managing. But, like, you know, I don't read the newspaper much. I watch ESPN some, but, no, I don't know much about him.
How long has it been since you last managed?
2 years ago. 2 years ago I had the Washington Nationals. So I had him 2 years ago. One of my former players is here, Joe Blanton, and he's a grape grower and a winemaker. So, you know, this would bring us all here tonight to try to combine baseball, wine, and also, you know, some charity work at the same time.
Do you still do much? You mentioned about a connection with the Giants now. What type of work do you help them with?
Well, basically, you know, I watch players. You know, I watch them in the minor leagues. I watch them some in the major leagues. But I live in Sacramento, so it's very convenient for me to see the team there and also see the players come through there. And,
well, those are the comments of Dusty Baker, the new manager of the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that was kind of convenient that we had that interview that you got with Dusty several weeks ago, and now he's back in the news, coming back to manage in the major leagues, and he'll have to work on his wine business remotely, I guess, because, I mean, the growing and the harvesting and all that's going to go on while Dusty is in a dugout somewhere running the Astros. So he's got a really good team to manage, and it should be quite a fun thing for him. I've always really liked Dusty, and I think he's going to do a great job.
Well, good news for Crusher fans. Imani Lopez is back onto the court. He's got some Band-Aids there underneath his chin, the bandages anyway. And he's coming out, one of the officials coming over, talking to him, saying something to Imani, but he's going to be starting this second half. So is Josh McCormick and another Josh Cove. And they have Ethan Emmerling, and the fifth one is Blake Murray. And then the Chrysers are on defense, and San Giacomo puts the ball in play to Benz. Now the Chrysers start right out with that pressure defense. San Giacomo brings it over now, working there. And a little daylight for McDivitt. He passes over in the right corner. Three-point attempt is up. No good by Wyatt Humphreys. Rebounded by Justin Siena, or rather by Vinny Murray. Down to Coe. He fires the three. No good. Rebound. Murray went right in there and takes it and fires another three, and that's no good. And this time, Emmerling gets in there. He loses the ball out of bounds, and they're going to give it to the Vintage Crushers. We are just underway here with the third quarter action from the home of the Crushers, and the Crushers have the ball to the right of the basket for which they are shooting. They lob it into Imani Lopez. Comes out now, working it around the perimeter, coming from the right side. Started left, but they go right back to the right side to Hammerling. Working the weave now to Lopez. Lopez going to fire a three. Swish! Nothing but net. Well, I guess that answers any questions as far as how much of a factor that chin injury was. That makes it a four-point game now. And San Giacomo is double-teamed. Apparently, either pulled the pivot foot or stepped on the sideline because it's a turnover. And the Braves have to get back on defense again as we play 1 minute here. And their lead is shrinking. Driving in is Lopez. He missed the shot. Scramble for the rebound. Humphreys tries to come out with it. But it's go out to Murray for a three. Yes! Murray drains a three. And it's a one-point game right here at the start of the third quarter here. Ben Gongora off the bench saying something to his team now as they get back to see if they're going to come out of that trapping press or not. From the look of Emmerling, who's going into the defensive backcourt there, probably going to keep the pressure up, but maybe not the full court 1-2-2 trapping zone. Nope, they're going to the 1-2-2. Here's the Braves coming down to McDivitt. McDivitt hooks a pass over to Benz. Benz is going to be double-teamed. He's working around, and he's tied up. Boy, the Braves are just having all kinds of problems with that defense.
No, they really are doing a terrific job there, and this is just the kind of game I imagined. It's a tight one.
Imani Lopez has it. Free throw line extended area over on the right side. Coming now toward the top of the key. Back to Murray. Murray, a little underhand pass to Coe. Back to Murray going down the right side of the lane. Going up, shooting, missing. Rebound tip way out of scramble for a ball. Coe comes up with it for the Threshers to Murray for a three. Kaboom! And that puts the Threshers ahead. Vintage has scored 9 unanswered points here in the third quarter, and the Braves are having, and there's another steal, but a whistle. No, there was a timeout asked for before the last steal, as Dave Granucci has to settle down his ball handling team here. So we'll see if that is a full one or not. And it's going to be a full timeout. Well, you frequently see that type of play when a team that has not been using the trap defense all of a sudden goes to full court trap, and it has paid off for Vintage.
It's paid off beautifully for Vintage, and their shooting is terrific. 3 3-point baskets in this third quarter. They had made one in the entire first half, but it looks like they're warming up at the right time, Ira.
Well, that's been their only scoring here in this quarter has been the three-point baskets, but they've outscored the Braves 9-0. Braves need a basket. They have the ball now. Humphreys, double-teamed, gets the ball over to McDivitt. McDivitt guarded closely. Passes to Humphrey, back to McDivitt. He tries to drive between two players. Can't, passes over to Humphrey, fouled by Murray. Murray pressuring, but everybody's pressuring the ball out there for the Crushers. That's the thing is, if you work at defense, it can produce results. But you can't take it for granted. You have to work at defense. 5.5 minutes to go. We're in the third quarter. Murray, who has picked up his third foul, is coming out of the lineup. And Luke Williams, a 6'2 senior, comes in to replace him. Ball comes over to McDivitt. He's double-teamed right away. Drive between two. Goes up, shoots, missed, but was fouled. Let's see if it was before. I think it was before the shot that he was fouled. He's going to go to the free throw line. It would be a two-shot foul. The foul is going to go against Josh Coe. That's number two on him. Well, Vintage is taking the lead here, 26-24. That 24-point total is what the Braves had at halftime, while the Crushers have come up with 9 points here so far in this third quarter. Benz tries to dribble team between two players and gets the ball to Jackson. He goes up, shoots, no good, goes for his rebound, battles for it, but it's taken instead by Williams. Fast break the other way. Here come the Crushers. Over to Coe. Coe top the key. Over to Lopez. Manny Lopez fakes right, drives left. He's a double team, so he's checked off the play and brings it back out to Emmerling. Emmerling bounced pass back to Lopez. Lopez goes baseline, goes into the lane, goes up, shoots, and missed. Rebound taken by Jackson. Out on the right wing, his pass comes to McDivitt. Tries to get down court quickly before the defense can be set up. And a bad pass by Benz, right to Coe. And the ball then hit the referee and caroms right back to Benny. Well, Benny's got two good breaks there on the way the ball bounces. There's Lopez. He's going to fire another three. This one's no good. Jackson tried for the rebound, but it's taken by the Crushers. Coe has it angle left side. And the Braves are starting the double team. And then there's a foul called Olivia. Two-shot foul coming for Vintage. That foul is Vincent Jackson, the freshman. So four fouls on him. We'll see if they leave him in. He has been their main contender on the defensive backboard. So they will miss his presence in there. First free throw is good by Luke Williams. Here is Cushing coming in. So they give up a lot of height there on Cushing, replacing Jackson. So Vintage is a run of 10 straight points now. And it's now 11 as the ball curls in. Luke Williams goes 2 for 2 at the foul line. 4:15 to go. We're in the third quarter. And it's 28-24. Now Vintage in the lead. Humphreys gets a pass underneath. Goes to San Giacomo. He turns. He goes. Shot blocked in there, but the rebound up and good, and it will count. And one coming for Humphreys. Wyatt Humphreys just battled and battled. Finally got the rebound and went back up with it. And it is Luke Williams called for the personal foul. Oh, let's see. Then he's just been assessed with a delay of game warning. If they have another one, that would be a technical foul. So they have been warned. I'm not sure exactly what they did that caused the delay of game, but it has been assessed. And at the line is Humphrey, the sophomore, and he scores the free throw. Well, the Braves finally score here in the second half, and they trail by 1 point now, 28-27. Vintage Lopez quarter in the corner. He'll jump, fires, and it is no good. Rebound, Benz. He went high for that and was shoved. I think Emmerling is going to be called for the foul, and he is, Ethan Emmerling. So we're midway through the third quarter, and finally the Braves got on track to get in the scoring column, and Vintage is going to stay in their 1-2-2 trap. But in the backcourt have Benz and San Giacomo, then about midcourt is McDivitt along with Cushing, and then coming up also near the 10-second line is Wyatt Humphreys. Those are the five out there for the Braves. Emmerling, Lopez, Coe, along with Williams, and Josh McCormick, five on the court for the Crushers. So the Braves have a chance to regain the lead. Let's see if they can capitalize. The Crushers are well drilled on this pressure defense. They flow nicely with that. Humphrey and the Braves lose the ball again on the pressure defense. Just kind of took it away from Cushing there. And here is Emmerling coming in the forecourt. Comes over to the side to the left. Lopez wants to clear out the lane. He wants to drive in. He goes up. He shoots. He scores. Oh. He wanted to clear the lane, and for good reason, he wanted to drive into that space and have an opening, and he made the most of it. That makes it 30-27 now. Boy, this tenacious defense used by the Crushers, causing all kinds. Here's Humphrey faking, driving in, going up, shooting, no good. Rebound, Cushing, back up, no good. Rebound, Humphrey, back up, no good. Rebound, Humphrey, defected, foul call. Humphrey will go to the line. Battling.
Gosh, it makes me wish I was tracking rebounds the way I usually do, because I think Humphrey got four rebounds in the space of about 10 seconds there.
Two free throws coming for Wyatt Humphreys. The first of which is good. Perfect. So quite a bit of playing time last year on the varsity as a freshman. Just under 3 minutes to go here in the third quarter. He's got one more free throw, and it is good. So it's a one-point game. 30-29, finished with the ball and the lead as Coe brings it forward court. Brings it left side now, takes it out toward the top of the key. Working it around the perimeter, staying behind the three-point arc. Goes to Hammerling, drives around, goes baseline, cut off at that point, comes back out with the pass over to the right side now to Williams, to Coe. Coe drives into the lane, loses the ball. The Braves get it, and coming out on a fast break is Cushing, and it's taken away by Coe. Coe comes right back with a good defensive play. Braves would have had a chance to go back and lead. Pull-up jump shot rimmed and spins around and around. It must have gone around the cylinder three or four times before it finally cradled in for a two-point basket there for Lopez. How many points does Lopez have?
13, Ira.
Braves with the ball now. 2 minutes to go here in the third. Humphreys look at a three. Fires it. Kaboom! He hits a three. And we're tied at 32. Quickly in the forecourt comes McCormick. McCormick takes it right side. He used up the dribble and finds in the... or at the top of the key, Coe. Coe guarded fairly tightly there by Vince. Now he backs off a little bit. Pass goes to Lopez. Lopez drives into the lane. The ball is stripped away from him. Good defense that time against the drive of Imani Lopez. McDivitt's got a little daylight. He drives in, goes up. He was fouled. He missed the shot, but he took advantage of a little daylight that he had seen there. And the foul is going to be on Luke Williams. Last year, Vintage had a 10-14 overall record. They came in tonight 12-9, so they already improved on that. They were 5-7 in the league last year. First free throw is good by McDivitt. And Justin Sinner last year was 12-14. They were just 2-10 in the league, but what a tough league. But that'll help prepare them for North Coast section competition at the end of the regular season. McDivitt's next free throw, it also is good. And the Braves go back in the lead with a minute 20 to go here in the third quarter. As the Lopez drives in, goes up, he missed the shot, and the Braves had it around, and finally it's San Giacomo who comes out with the ball. And McDivitt over to the right side. Oh, with a little travel there, not called. Oh, going in and blowing the layup was Aiden Cushing. He did a great job of getting open for the shot and then went in and put it up off the backboard too hard. But the Braves, as we are in the final minute of the third quarter, lead it by 2 points. But Vintage will get the ball after the foul is called. That last foul was on Cushing of the Braves. Back into the lineup for Vintage is Logan Nothman. Nothman returning after that leg injury. Top of the key. Over to Coe. Coe looks. He's open. He shoots. He missed it. Rebound taken by Humphrey. Good defensive rebound by Wyatt Humphreys there. A half a minute to go. Shot clock shows 27 seconds on that. So they can play it down if they want to play it down. A bad pass. Intercepted by the Crusher. Coming down, going in, an easy layup for Josh McCormick on another bad pass. Another turnover for the Braves. McDivitt gets to get through the ball to San Giacomo, and he's called for traveling. Boy, that once that pressure is applied, it is tough. There are 6 seconds to go here in the third quarter, and we're tied at 34. Coe has the ball. gets it into Lopez. He's going to look for a three. He finds it. He fires it. No good. Rebound underneath. And that will be it. They'll not get a shot away. Wow, what a start of that second half by Vintage with our 1-2-2 trap defense. We'll be back with the fourth quarter. Our score here at the home of the Crushers is Justin Santa Braves of Napa 34. The Vinnie's Crushers of Napa 34. I want to mention the good help that we get from Dino, because I have a fractured collarbone, a bad fall, and I can't move the right side of my body, so the right hand, the right arm and all. So usually I keep my own scorebook, but Dino is keeping that aspect of it and working at least for a while with just the left hand holding the microphone and see what we come up with. So, Dino, thank you very much for good job of filling.
Hey, it's showbiz. The show must go on.
All right, let's start the fourth quarter now. We're tied at 34. Braves have the ball. Humphreys, bad pass, but it goes out of bounds off of the pressure. So they have San Giacomo, Humphreys, Benz, along with Cushing and McDivitt. Benz with the ball over to Cushing. Cushing just a sophomore, right at the top of the key. Ben is using a man-to-man defense now, and they will double-team when they get the chance. McDivitt guarded real tightly by Emerly. Boy, he is really crazy. McDivitt starts to drive around, pulls up, shoots, scores! What a nicely done play by McDivitt. As you can see him gearing up for that setup, and the Braves go back in the lead here, just underway in the fourth quarter. With the ball is Nothman over to Murray. Murray just came back into Nothman. He fires a three. It's good. There it is. There is Nothman coming through, coming back from that leg injury. Boy, he is some athlete. And that puts the Crushers ahead by one. The Braves with the ball. Cushing drives in, turn. He had a chance to shoot. He didn't. Gives to Benz. Now back to Cushing. Cushing drives in, doesn't shoot again. Gives out to San Giacomo. He's got a little daylight, but doesn't shoot to Benz. Benz drives in. He goes up. He scores with the left hand from the left side. Beautiful drive there by Keith Benz. And the Braves go back into the lead with 6.5 minutes to go. There's Nothman firing another one. Good again. Another three. Nothman hitting consecutive three-point basket. Coming back onto the hardwood after being out with that leg injury for so long. And that puts it to a two-point advantage for the Crushers. Cushing has the ball nearly stolen, but retrieved by San Giacomo. Has the ball between circles. Looking at a man-to-man defense, Sterlinger. Pass goes to Benz. Benz brings it back near the center circle, near the BC logo there. Benz gets a block. Drives in. Goes up. Shoots. No good. Rebound taken by Coe. Here comes Coe quickly in the forecourt. They look for Nothman. Coe will drive in. Kicks it over to Murray. Murray fires a three. It's no good. Rebound underneath taken by the Braves' Aiden Cushing. To McDivitt in the forecourt. Gets it over to Cushing. Cushing nearly lost it. Gives it to San Giacomo. 5.5 minutes to go. Fourth quarter. Vinny's leads by two. Justin Siena has the ball. Benz has it, top the key, used up the dribble. Takes it left side, now to Cushing. Fakes left, drive right, goes up, scores! Beautiful solo drive there, baseline left. And we're tied at 40. We were tied at 34 at the end of the quarter. Underneath to Murray, he dropped the ball on the baseline. So a turnover will give the ball to the Braves, the chance for Justin to get back into the lead. Benz and San Giacomo in the backcourt. Cushing along with McDivitt and Humphreys in the front court. As the ball comes into the front court now, over to Cushing. Cushing spreads the offense, trying to stay away from that double-teaming nature that the defense does so well for Vintage. McDivitt brings it over to San Giacomo, spreading it around now. 12 seconds on the shot clock. Cushing starts in the lane, passes over the side. 7 seconds on the shot clock. Comes out to Benz. Benz with 4 seconds on the shot clock. Door to Cushing, drives in. Shot is blocked. And the Crushers get the ball coming down, and going in is Murray for an easy layup. I think that's buzzer threw people off.
I think it did. Some of the players stopped running when the buzzer went off. So I imagine that Vintage will be inbounding the ball from their baseline. Although I think in reality they did get the shot was missed and they got the rebound as the 30-second clock was expiring. But no harm done.
Yeah, the 35-second clock, but...
Sorry, 35 seconds.
What's a second or two here as we have 4:15 to go here in the fourth quarter, and the Braves are on the defense and do a nice job of getting the ball deflected off of Vinny's out of bounds. Back into the lineup comes Vincent Jackson, the nice-looking freshman. He's got some really good moves there, but... he'll be playing with four personal fouls. We have exactly 4 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. We are halfway through the quarter with a tie game. Jackson comes out to meet the ball. Now passes over the right side to Benz. To McDivitt, the top of the key. Guarded very tightly there by Hemmerling. Tries to drive around Hemmerling. Hemmerling does a nice job of backing up, keeping there. 9 seconds on the shot clock. McDivitt starts to drive in. Double teamed and pushed down and no call. And coming down the other way, and good pass there. But we have a blocking foul call as Logan Nothman was leading the pass break from the left side. Had a player coming down on the right side of the court. And as he was going in, the defender switched over to Nothman. And he made a pass in over to the other side of the court. And he had the ball deflected out of bounds. So it'll be Logan Nothman, a 6 foot junior. Now that was, I guess they called that a foul there on Humphreys.
They did, and that's his fourth personal foul, Ira.
Okay, so it was a foul. So it will be Nothman inbounding the ball, working it over now to Lopez. Lopez on the little shovel pass now. Emmerling gets the ball right back. Murray sets a pick, driving around it, and Lopez drives in and lays it in. Oh, he made that look too easy.
Wow, that was quite a spectacular play by Amani, but I guess the rules have changed since I used to play, because he took a huge hop before he went up and shot that ball. And in my mind, that's traveling, but the officials allowed it, and the basket was good.
Well, if you see on the NBA these days, they don't pay too much attention to that traveling violation.
I'd like to think, though, that in the high school game that there's still some sense of decorum as far as calling those things. But for sure, the players are emulating what they watch, what they see on TV when they're watching their NBA heroes, and he got away with it.
Let's look at some of the scoring.
So for the Braves, leading scorer with 16 points is Liam McDivitt. 8 points for Wyatt Humphreys. He got all of those in the third quarter. For the Crushers, Imani Lopez is the leading scorer with 17. Blake Murray has 12. Logan Nothman has 6, and he got all those in the space of about a minute on 2 3-pointers. And it's a 2-point game with 3 minutes, 20 seconds to go, 200 seconds to go in the game. And it's going to be a fight to the finish, Ira.
Well, on Thursday and Friday of this next week, we will have big game basketball, both the Vintage and Napa girls and then the boys at the Mester Gym. We'll tell you more about that here in a moment. In the meantime, play is underway. Justin is down by a pair as they get the ball now into the forecourt. San Giacomo gets it over to McDivitt. He drives in, he turns, he shoots, it was spun out. It was about halfway down and then spun back out. So Vinny's with the rebound and a 2-point lead. From the right corner, a 3-point attempt is no good. Rebound that Nothman. How did he get that? He went high over Ben to take that. And Lopez fires a three. It spins out. Murray's rebound is easily back in. Murray, the opportunist there, the right spot off of the offensive backboard, makes it a 4-point Vinny's lead. Justin on the high dribble brings it in the forecourt. Nothman guarding Benz. Now to McDivitt. McDivitt drives baseline left. Can't go. Gets to Jackson. Pull up jump shot is off. No good. Goes for the rebound. And it comes out to San Giacomo. Gets it over now to Benz. Justin Sienna retaining possession now with 2:15 to go here in the fourth quarter, 26 seconds on the shot clock. McDivitt guarded very tightly. Looks it over to Humphrey. He's got a little room. He drives in. He goes up. He was fouled. He had a chance to go in for a shot off the backboard, but he'll go to the free throw line with two free throws. That foul, I think, is on Imani Lopez. Just over 2 minutes to go, so these are Frazier free throws coming now. So Humphrey is ready. His free throw is good. Wyatt has looked pretty good there at that foul line here in the second half. As he's made all of his free throws tonight, 4 out of 4. He's back there again. This free throw is no good. And Murray with the rebound for the Crushers. They have the ball and a 3-point lead. They give the ball to Nothman. Logan slows down the tempo. Justin backs up into their man-to-man defense right at the arc. Murray just drives around McDivitt. McDivitt's a tired player. You could see that on that play as Murray had a little more energy than McDivitt did on that. McDivitt's played a heck of a game but is starting to tire now. And San Giacomo, there's a timeout as with a minute and a half to go here in the quarter. And Vinny's has opened up a 5-point lead in the game. Here's Dino.
Well, the Crushers have done a terrific job in this second half. After trailing by 7 at halftime, they now lead by 5. So a run of 29-17 in this second half for the Crushers. For Vintage, they've got just enough time left to try and put together one more final surge. For the Braves, the leading scorer, Liam McDivitt, has 16. Wyatt Humphreys has 9, all of those in the second half. Back to you, Ira.
Yeah, I just want to take this opportunity, thank you for the update. But to mention about our broadcast schedule this next week, we'll be broadcasting the big games from the Messner Gym on Thursday night. It's Vintage at Napa in girls basketball. We'll broadcast both the JV and varsity. 5:15 will be airtime. So we have a change in airtime. Originally, we were set up for 4:45, but they changed the starting time for the JV game to 5:30. So we will broadcast beginning at 5:15 on both Thursday night for the girls and Friday night for the boys. 4 games in 2 nights, 2 doubleheaders on KVON for big game basketball. Here we go. Let's find out what the Braves can do. They have the ball. They look to inbound. They look to Jackson. They go into the right-hand corner. Now they get it to Jackson, and he was shoved. That's going to be against Josh McCormick on a shove underneath the basket. Well, these are pressure-packed free throws for the freshman. Vincent Jackson, has he been the line yet?
He has, Ira. He's 2 of 2 from the free throw line.
Free throw is up. It's no good. The front end of a 1-1. And Vintage had the ball deflected by Jackson. It goes out of bounds.
Every time we mention that somebody's having a perfect night from the free throw line, they seem to miss that next one.
It's what they call the broadcast magic here or something. Here, play resumes now. Vintage with the ball. Minute 20 to go. Coming into the forecourt, Emmerling. Out to the between circles. Now they send it way out there to Imani Lopez. Lopez working against Jackson. You can drive on Jackson. He's got 4 fouls, but Lopez is going to start to drive. Now he'll come back out to a 3 is good by Logan Nothman. He has made 3 out of 4 from 3-point range. Welcome back, Logan. My guy. With 1 minute to go now as the Braves down by 8. 3 is up, no good by McDivitt. Rebound coming down, going in, and scoring on the layup was McCormick on a assist by Nothman. Yes, Nothman is in there, and it's a 10-point advantage. Pass goes to Humphreys. He's double-teamed and fouled. And Logan Nothman is going to be called for the personal foul. Wow, what a return to the action here at the house of the Crushers there with that three-point baskets for him. So the Grays have scored 7 points in the quarter, and they make the free throw, so they'll get the bonus. That's 8 points. But the Crushers have scored 17 points in the quarter. Wyatt Humphreys back there now with 27 seconds to go. The shot clock is off, and he makes the free throws. Nice arc, nice follow through, and timeouts asked for by Ben Gongora. Moving toward the final part of regular season schedule, and then we get into the North Coast section playoffs, and we hope to be able to broadcast some of those games. We'll also be broadcasting Napa Valley College hosting Solano College, and we've got a couple of prolific prep games coming up. We'll have on February 22nd, senior night, and then on March the 1st, Elena's voice game for prolific prep. Right now, we're finishing up here in this battle in the Vine Valley Athletic League. Nothman to put the ball in play for Benny's. Looks, gets it in, and immediate foul. Murray got the inbounds pass, and McDivitt got the quick foul. Well, it is not yet in the bonus. That's only the, what is that, the fourth or 15th foul. So Benny's is not yet in the bonus. So now the inbounds pass and a foul is called that time on San Giacomo. That would be the fourth or 15th foul. So still not in the bonus. 26 seconds to go. It's just kind of this matter of, oh, the ball slips away from Murray. He goes for it, and it's off of Murray out of bounds. Braves did get it, and they do. 23 seconds to go. He's down by eight. You get the ball in. It goes to Jackson underneath, intended for Vince, but taken instead by Nothman. Nothman into the forecourt. Bounces it towards the right side. Now comes back out to Murray. Stolen away by San Giacomo. It's one on two. He goes in, he goes up, and he scores. Robert San Giacomo took the ball. There's a long pass down to the forecourt as the buzzer will sound. And that will end the game with Vintage victorious 51-45 over Justin Siena as the Crushers go to 6-2 in the league. And they're at least in a tie for second, or maybe in a tie for first, depending on what Sonoma Valley did over at home against Petaluma tonight. And the finals will be coming your way here in just a moment, as we'll be totaling them up. But we'll take time out as we have Sean Tooker. We are going to have a chance to talk to winning coach Ben Gongora. So stay right there. It'll be interesting to get Ben's comments. And before he gets here, though, we can take a look at some of the scoring here with Dino Alessio.
So for the visitors, the Braves of Justin High School, their leading scorer was Liam McDevitt. He had 16 points. That included 2 3-point buckets. He was perfect 4 out of 4 from the free throw line, and also made 3 2-point baskets. For the second leading scorer was Wyatt Humphreys, who did all his scoring in the second half. He made 6 out of 7 from the free throw line, and had 1 3-point basket and 1 2-point basket for his 11. Also scoring, Robert San Giacomo, who made 3 2-point field goals for his 6 points. Aiden Cushing had 1 2-point field goal. Keith Benz had 2 2-point field goals and was 0-for-2 from the free throw line. Daniel Kelly attempted 2 free throws, missed them both. Vincent Jackson had 2 2-point baskets and was 2 of 3 from the free throw line for his 6 points. And that was the 45 point total for the visitors from Justin. For the Vintage Crushers, leading scorer was Imani Lopez with 17. Imani had 5 2-point baskets, 1 3-point field goal, and was 4 out of 6 from the free throw line. Blake Murray had 16. He had 3 2-point baskets, 2 3-pointers, and made 4 out of 4 from the free throw line. Let's see, other scores. Logan Nothman had 9 points on 3 3-point buckets, all in the fourth quarter in clutch time. Luke Williams was 2 for 2 from the free throw line for 2 points. Ethan Hemmerlin made a 3-point basket and a 2-point basket in the first quarter for 5 points. That was his only scoring. Josh McCormick had one basket in the fourth quarter, a 2-pointer, and that was the 51 points for the Crushers. The Crushers trailed 14-9 at the end of one quarter. They trailed 24-17 at halftime. At the end of the third quarter, the score was tied 34-34, and then it was the Crushers outscoring the Braves 17-11 in the fourth quarter to pull out to a 51-45 win in a very entertaining basketball game. And as we wait for Coach Gongora to come out, any comments that you have, Ira, about what we saw tonight?
Well, I think the turning point was when Logan Nothman came into the lineup there and got some experience, not only with his 3 out of 4 from three-point range, but with his leadership on the court, his ability to know where to go, when to be there, what to do after you're there. And you can't put any number of points on something like that. It is called innate, and that's what – he has a lot of innate ability. So welcome back to the varsity action here after being out with that leg injury for quite some time. Well, we're hopeful that we can get Van Gongora. He indicated that as soon as he finished talking with his team, he would be coming over here. In case you missed it, we had 3 ball games here at the home of the Crushers. And in the first game, the freshman, Vinnie's won that 50-32. With a couple Sams doing good. Sam Gomez had 13 points, and Sam Loomis had 11 points in that. And in the JV game, it was Vintage winning that one, 57-46. A great performance by Cole Capitani, as he had 13 points, but so did Matty Estrada. So he had the tallest guy and the shortest guy. Tying for individual scoring honors there, each with the 13 points in the JV action. And then the Crusher varsity made it a clean sweep, coming through with a very strong fourth quarter after all tied up at the end of three quarters. The Braves had just played such a fine first half of play, and it was obvious that the trap was bothering them.
Absolutely. It was a brilliant defensive scheme, and I just thought the whole game was very well played and well coached by both coaches, and it really could have ended up, I mean, the fact that it ended up a 6-point game, but it could have easily been a 1 or 2-point game, but definitely a deserving win for Vintage. While we wait for Coach, do we want to go ahead and pick a player of the game?
Yeah, you can select first.
Well, you know, I'm going to go with Logan Nothman, because that was a – there's nothing like returning in dramatic fashion in a close-fought game and bombing in three-pointers like it was just nothing at all. So I'm going to pick him as my guy.
Well, I'm going to go along with that, too. I thought that, as I said, it was very timely when he came in there and just showed that he was no worse for the wear as far as being out of the lineup for those early games after having that leg injury, and certainly turned things around when he got in there and made those 2 quick 3-pointers and then hit another one later on to go 3 out of 4 from the long range territory. You know, the Crushers now are 13-9. They go to 6-2 in the league, while Justin Siena drops to 9-13. They are 2-6 in the league. And quickly, we have Van Gongora. What a turnaround in that fourth quarter that trap defense provided.
Yeah, I had to apologize to the team you know, we gave Justin maybe a little too much respect tonight, and we let them dictate the game in the first half. They really turned it into a half-court possession game, and that's just not our style. You know, we don't just come, walk the ball down, run an offense, run back, and play defense. We're more of a trap, press, get in your face, transition team.
It was a defense victory.
Absolutely, absolutely. But also, Ira, the victory was perseverance. The victory was Logan Nothman coming back from a broken leg and draining three beautiful three-pointers. The MVP today is our trainer, Casey, who Amani gets a split in the chin. He's going to need some stitches. She gets them patched up. He comes back in as a major contributor. So total team effort, communal, vintage, trainers, all above. I just couldn't be more proud of these kids.
How often do you work on that trap?
Every day. Every day. Every single day. It's our bread and butter. And if we're not actually working on the trap, we're working on drills that are with that concept in terms of collapsing or trapping, or we call it rotating over. The other thing is man and ball, right? No one has a quote, I got to guard my man. It's more of these concepts. But I felt so bad with the kids at halftime because Justin was really dictating things. And respectfully, we're the more athletic team. We're the bigger team. We're the stronger team. And I was like, what are we doing, guys? Let's go play our game. And we did, and we showed who's better tonight. So it's nice to get the sweep. This is a great, great night for our program. Freshman win, JV win, varsity win.
Did you get a score yet on that Sonoma Valley game against Petaluma?
I don't have the specific score, but Petaluma lost.
They lost?
They lost, so I'm really excited. What I just asked for my players, I was just informed of this right now. I said, regardless of outcome, give me your everything. And I love my guys, and I know they're going to give me everything they have. The community out there, please come to the game tomorrow. We need your support. Petaluma's coming. This is really, we're back.
First place.
This is it. Battle for first place. We win, we're in. You know. But regardless of outcome tomorrow.
What time is game time?
7 p.m. 7 p.m. for varsity. Freshman at 4, JV at 5:30. But just, we got to keep this momentum going, and we're just going to lay it all out tomorrow. Whatever happens, happens. But I know I'm not going to have to tell the kids, let's get some effort. I know they're going to come ready to go.
When you were in the man-to-man alignment early on, I noticed that you were still double-teaming McDivitt.
We did. He's their best player. He's by far their best player. You know, I know they have other players on the team, and I'm not just disrespecting the other players on the team, but he's obviously their main scorer. So without them, the engine doesn't, you know, the car doesn't run without that engine. So we were able to temper him down. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't have the same game plan because we have different personnel than we did the first time we had. You know, Owen Schneibly did a phenomenal job of shutting him down, only allowing him one field goal the last time we played them at their place. But I'm really happy with what Ethan Heberlin did. I don't know if he came out tonight. I can't even remember right now. I think Ethan played some major minutes, so he did a great job.
Oh, he was, defending-wise, he was a strong factor in there for you. Well, you had lost some roster players, too, so you had to see what more of your bench could do.
Yeah, it's next man up. You know, we don't really have a pity party. We don't believe in that here at Vintage, and it's part of sports, right? These things happen, and unfortunately, we've had just some things that have happened to us that didn't go our way. And, you know, they're unfortunate. I don't advertise those, and I don't expect anybody to say, oh, poor Vintage. There's no excuses. You know, when we lost, I didn't say we lost because we didn't have something. You know, tomorrow we're playing for first place. So we got to step up. They don't care. Petaluma doesn't care about our injuries. They don't care about what we've gone through. They're just coming to win.
Well, let me ask you one more thing, and that is how Nothman felt after the game, getting back and all.
Only 10% of us get enough daily exercise.
Okay, then. Yeah, all right. Yeah, that was a tough question. I'm sorry to ask it.
Yeah. You know, I'm so happy for that kid. When you're a coach, you fall in love with your kids, and you fall in love with your players, and it was so tough to see him go down the way he did in a game. And it was a devastating injury, and we didn't advertise it. We kept it down and just said, oh, it's a leg injury. We'll see when he's back. And that kid fought back for 2 months, and for him to come back and hit those shots, he's 10 feet tall right now. And, you know, what a testament to his parents and their support and the school and the trainers. he's just done a phenomenal job to fight back. And to see that happen, I just couldn't be happier for that kid, because no one deserves to have happen what happened to him. And to be able to fight back, I just, to see that smile, it does my heart good.
It's okay to have tears, too. But anyway, best wishes to Imani on that chin injury, and to your entire squad tomorrow night against Petaluma.
Thank you, Ira. I appreciate you being out here.
All right, Ben Gongora, the coach for the Vintage Crushers. And Dino, any final comment here as we wrap it up?
Well, I tell you, if I was a high school player, I would love to have a coach like Ben Gongora. You see how when they struggled in the first half, when he talked about that, he laid the blame on himself, said that he wasn't playing the right kind of defense and offense. And the emotion he showed when talking about Logan Nothman coming back from that injury, this is a guy, if I was playing for him, I would run through a brick wall if that's what it took.
Okay, well, that's pretty much our story. Sean Tooker, our engineer, great job back here tonight. We would not be on the air without Sean Tooker. So thanks, Sean. Hope things are going well as far as the classroom also. And that's pretty much our story. As you heard, we named Logan Nothman as our player of the game. And the Crushers have a big one going for first place tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here at the home of the Crushers against Petaluma. And that wraps it up on behalf of the Napa Valley Sports Boosters. This is Ira C. Smith reminding you our final tonight, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 51 and the Justin Siena Braves of Napa 45.
This has been a KVON Sports presentation.